Welcome into this Golf Channel podcast. I'm Rex Hoggard, and I'm pleased to be joined by Davis Love III, one of five inductees for the World Golf Hall of Fame's class of 2017.
When this was announced, you didn't seem, I don't want to say uncomfortable, but you didn't seem completely at ease with it. I think the words you used were putting yourself in that company. Over time, have you become more comfortable going into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, more comfortable. I'm still, you know me pretty well. that's how I felt. I told Michael Bamberger the other day, I was driving to go surfing down in Jacksonville, and I see this sign after I played at Greensboro. I see this sign, and it's Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus in an ad for the Hall of Fame as you're getting into Jacksonville. And I'm like, it just doesn't seem right. And Fred Couples had a great line, the start of his, how did I get here? You know, and that's like me, like, how did I get in this position that I'm going in the Hall of Fame with Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer? But the more I, you know, work on a speech, or the more I think about that it's actually getting ready to happen in a week, and those kind of things, it's settling in. Yeah.
You've given a lot of big speeches in your life. Is this one more difficult or easier?
I keep telling myself there's not going to be as many people watching the Ryder Cup speech. No, it's not any easier. It's just, where do you go with it? You know, what's the context? I don't want to stand up there and spend 6 minutes thanking every person that ever watched me hit a golf ball or helped me out, or every caddy. So it's going to be harder because it's going to be different. But I'm working on maybe going a different direction and just thanking everybody. But no, it's anytime you say stand up in front of people on TV and make a speech, yeah, it's nervous for me. Pretty much everybody knows the story of my dad, you know, in golf. I grew up the son of a club pro. But what did I get out of that made me who I am, you know? What did I get from my mom that made me who I am? What did I get out of Arnold Palmer that made me act the way I acted, you know? Things like that is what I'm going to try to get up there and say. And, you know, you only get one shot, you know, at something like that, where you can get up and say, this is what I believe in, and this is who I am, and this is what I'd like to pass on to the next generation. Like Fred Couples, I learned something about Fred Couples watching that speech two or three times. I learned some about, you know, researching Henry Longhurst. I learned some stuff about him, and I'd like to know more about, I'm going to sit there paying attention for Moreno Ochoa and Henry Longhurst, because I don't know that much about him. So that's what I'm hoping to hear, something about Moreno Ochoa's charity work that she does. I know a little bit, but I don't know enough about it. So that's kind of where I'm going to go with it, I think.
Kind of to switch gears a little bit, and I'm sure I've asked you this question throughout the course of your career, and guys say it all the time, that you don't really reflect on your accomplishments until everything's done, whether if that's the tournament, the week of the tournament, or the season, or, you know, a portion of your career, whatever the case may be. Has this kind of prompted you to look back on your career and take stock into everything you accomplished?
No, not really. I've always been very looking to the what's next, to the future, and I've done that thing. Do I really fit in with this with this group? You know, and just because I love Fred, you know, when I came out on tour, I wanted to work as hard as Tom Kite. I wanted to drive the golf ball like Greg Norman. I wanted to be as cool as Fred Couples. You know, I wanted to win as many tournaments as Jack Nicklaus. I never really thought about the Hall of Fame, you know. I wanted to just win tournaments and do what they did. And when Fred got in and spent so much time with him, you know, so many tournaments. You know, I came out on tour and wanted to play practice rounds with him, wanted to hang around him. And then I get to the point of, I'm his partner in the World Cup, you know. I'm his partner in the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup, and teammates. And then when he gets in the Hall of Fame, I'm like, wow, I very similar records, right? maybe I'll get in the Hall of Fame. So it really didn't hit me. It really didn't even think about it until they started talking about Freddie getting in.
Where would you put some of your accomplishments, though? I mean, obviously the PGA Championship's going to rank high. Winning 21 tour events, winning when you're over 50 years old. I mean, so many things. Do you sit down and you categorize
it? Yeah, lifetime exemption, 20 wins. When Lanny called me I see Hale Irwin or, see these guys and they go, congratulations, that is such an accomplishment to win 20 times and be lifetime. And then you start paying attention to it, right? You're trying to figure out, we got Mickelson and Woods and BJ, but who's going to do it next, Sure, we thought Tiger was going to win 20 or 30 majors, but he's not. And Jordan Spieth, okay, all right, let's go back to Jordan Spieth. He's won 10 already. Yeah, he'll probably win 20, but he's still got 10 more, right? And he's got to not get hurt. Jim Furyk is close, and Justin Leonard's kind of was close or in the ballpark. But so 20 wins is really setting in. But for me, it's just the length of time that I've played. And I tell this story all the time that Billy Andrade and me and somebody else are sitting with Jay Haas family dining, and I said, how long have you been playing? He said, 21 years. We went, oh, good gosh, 21 years. How could you play golf that long? You're old. And Jay's still playing, and I've played 30 years, And to me, that's it. My mom would say, if you'd have just practiced more and quit goofing off so much, and you would have played a lot better. Well, she's probably right, except I might have gotten tired of it and not played for 30 years, Maybe I wouldn't have won it at 51 years old. I think that's the thing. What am I most proud of? That I've got as Ricky Fowler sitting with Drew Love a couple years ago in the locker room in Vegas. Maybe it was 2 years ago. They were in the little lounge off the locker room, just sitting there waiting for me to get done doing what I was doing. And Ricky goes, oh, it's so cool your dad's still out here playing with us. That, to me, is worth it, that I played, three or four, maybe four tournaments this year that my son played in, and he's 23, just starting on tour. And him being out there makes me, I thought, man, maybe it's about time to start switching over. But, I had a couple good tournaments this summer after, another injury in the start of the year, and Drew's trying to play, and maybe I'll hang in there. So that's what I'm kind of excited about and proud about in my whole career, is that I'm just still doing it, that I've been, one, blessed enough not to get knocked out of the game by injuries, and that I'm still hanging in there.
Have you already decided what you're putting in your locker room? Was that a tough decision?
No. I got a tip from Michael Bamberger, because he did some work for them, and I said, I'm going down there to do this. What do I need to look for? And he goes, oh, you get a look at this and look at that, look at these lockers and look at this person's locker. And so I did a little bit of that. I took a bunch of pictures, and I'm still want to tweak it, because what happened was they came and got all my stuff, and we did some filming at the same time. So they looked at it all, we talked about it, and then I left and they packed it up. So actually, Helen Ross showed me the list at Greensboro, what they actually, all the stuff they got. And so I told them, as once we get all this over with, I'd like to come down and bring a few more things that they didn't take, and tweak it a little bit. Robin's never been in there, so I want her to go down and see it. And, there's a few things that I had a really cool picture of me on President Bush's boat, and we're both leaning over the edge holding up this fish, and they didn't take it. And I put it right in the front for them. I said, look, if you can't do all these letters from both President Bushes, I want to show that, it's not all about, for me, it's not all about golf trophies. It's the cool things I got to do. And so I'm going to take a few things. And I don't think they got quite enough of my dad's stuff that I thought was pretty cool that people would like to see,
I'm guessing there's a golf club in there of some sort.
Yeah, they wanted, like, they gave me a list of what find this stuff for us, which some of it was hard to find. But, my first clubs and the driver I played with from 85 to 97, they thought that was pretty cool. it was wood. Like, what is this stuff? And then I was flipping through some letters, and I go, oh, here's one from Bob Hope. And they went, what? A Bob Hope letter? Because I guess one of the guys built the Bob Hope exhibit. Really a Bob Hope junkie. And I go, yeah, I got a couple of them. They go, what? And he got in a phase where he was into it, you know, and writing letters to guys when they did something well. And I want him to make, like, scan them and make, like, a, I don't know how you do it, with an iPad or something, where you could flip through and read letters, like those letters from Arnold or letters from Byron Nelson or Bob Hope or President Bush. Even Claude Harmon or Butch Harmon. I think people would think that's cool, you know, that Butch wrote a letter.
No, that's a great idea. I mean, that's one we found
in
the library.
Yeah. There's one we found where Butch was like, good plan, but your swing's got long, hit all this stuff. And you look at the date, I just won like 3 tournaments. And they were reading, they go, well, he wasn't being very nice. I said, my swing had gotten long and flippy. Why do you think I was working with Butch? He tells it like it is. I told Butch, I said, you wouldn't believe all this. And he goes, he said somebody came and told him that I showed them boxes full of these printout pictures that he used to give us. And he went, you kept all that stuff? I said, hell yeah, I kept it. So I don't know if you've ever seen them. They're like a white, they're like 4 inches wide, these long strips of pictures. And that was like the biggest technology back then. Butch could print them out and write on them. And so I saved a whole bunch. And all his little notes is like Claude Harmon School of Golf at the top. Then the notes on your lesson. I was like, this is so much like my dad. It's so cool that I saved them. So one day when they have a Butch Harmon roast, I'm going to bring some of that stuff and read it.
But no, that really would be cool. I mean, put like a little iPad on front of the thing.
Let's see. I got beat in the playoff by Fred, and I won 3 tournaments. I won like Players, Hilton Head, Greensboro. And you're telling me my swing's long and flippy? Get back working on my drills? Come on, Butch.
I was going to take some time off, but all right,
I'm going to take the summer off.
Thanks for listening to this Golf Channel podcast. For the latest from the world of golf, be sure to check out golfchannel.com.